This is Full Time
with Matt Jones.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Are we about to see the return of the Mersey Millionaires? Because it is reported that Alisha Usmanov would consider investing in Everton after his sale of his shares with Arsenal. To talk about this, I'm joined by Adam Partington from Grand Old Team. Good afternoon.
All right, Matt. How's it going?
It's exciting times for the Blues.
Yeah, it is. After the depression of Samuel Allardyce and the full stone of last summer, things seem to be looking up. But, you know, as an Evertonian, though, Matt, you don't ever want to kind of get ahead of yourself. So, because things can come crashing down rather quickly. But, you know, this week, I think the positive performance that we saw at Wolves on Saturday, and then now this Usmanov story that's broken today, which is him saying that he would be willing to support his friend Farhad Moshiri, has made us all jump the gun a little bit and kind of assume that he's going to be joining the Everton revolution. But we'll have to wait and see what happens.
The Everton revolution could be called the Ev Rev.
Could be. If you, there's a few people that don't like referring to Everton as the Ev. That seems to be the Reds on Twitter that wind us up with that one. But no, that's one way of putting it, I suppose. That's a good echo headline, isn't it?
There you go. I'll write them next time. Alisha Usmanov, then. We know he's been associated with Arsenal for a long time. We know he's friends with Farhad Moshiri as well. Now, Arsenal haven't exactly had the most success in recent years. Yes, they've won a few FA Cups, but their fans weren't happy because they weren't challenging in the league or the Champions League. How much of that was down to Usmanov? Well, obviously, not much, because Arsene Wenger was the man in charge, but he would have had a say on who was manager or not.
I don't know if he would. I mean, I don't know the intricacies of the way that Arsenal Football Club works, Matt, but I think, from what I gathered, is he was always trying to wrestle more control of it. I think he got the shares from when Farhad Moshiri... So the way I understand it is Farhad Moshiri, when he decided that he wanted to invest in Everton, he sold his shares to Usmanov. That's how it went. But again, in terms of, like, I think the whole issue with Usmanov and the reason why he released his shares in the end at Arsenal was because he wasn't getting the say that he thought that he wanted and that he deserved. Who knows? As I said, you know, I'm not fluent in the way that Arsenal work, but from our perspective, you know, we look like we're quite financially healthy now. I mean, Farhad Moshiri's come in. You know, we've got the wheel seems to be moving on the new stadium, from what I understand. And I'm no expert on the financial side, and there'll be people listening to this that will be more aware of the intricacies of how Farhad Moshiri has used his money at Everton. But we've seen a lot of the debt that was there eroded as well. He's cleared a lot of that. We've seen, you know, Goodison, a bit of investment in Goodison in terms of how it looks, at least, as much as you can do. And then also we've seen investment in the playing staff. And as well, he's released managers when he's felt like he needs to. So for me, I'm a big advocate of Farhad Moshiri. There's not too much that he's done so far that I can look at and say, do you know what, as a supporter, I'm unhappy about anything. However, I think he is wealthy by mine and your standards. I mean, I'm making an assumption there, Matt. But
definitely wealthy by my standards.
I don't know how well the station pays you, but the point I'm making is Usmanov would give us that extra financial clout. I think we would go from being a wealthy club to Manchester City wealthy, and that gets us exciting. And again, you know, I can always hear the Reds sniggering when I come on this show and I make statements like that. But I think, you know, there is a potential that this could happen. And if I was a betting man, I'm not, but if I was, I'd be interested in maybe putting a bet on that it will happen at some point. It's just when and how, you know.
What would it mean, therefore, for Bill Kenwright moving forward?
I think, again, you know, no expert in this regard, because I don't know Bill Kenwright and I only hear what other supporters hear, but there is a lot of rumours now that the writing is on the wall that Kenwright wants to step away. So maybe this would be the perfect time for him to do so, I suppose. And, you know, and he would then, him and the other outstanding board members would then obviously be willing to give up the rest of their involvement with the club to Usmanov, and we would be owned by Usmanov and Farhad Moshiri then. That's what the future could look like.
A very interesting future with the new stadium on the horizon as well. It's Radio City Talk. Matt Jones here speaking to Adam Partington from the Grand Old Team podcast. Let's have a look at the transfer window, because it's closed since you were last on with us, Adam. And, well, a brilliant, exciting day for the Blues.
Yeah, it was actually, you know, I think it was probably the best window of my Everton supporting life. I remember a couple of years back when we brought Lukaku in and Gareth Barry on the last day, and that was quite exciting. If my memory serves me correctly, it was the January. Oh, it was the summer. That's right, it was the summer, and we had a bit of a flurry at the end. But this was the signings that we brought in on the final day this time were really, really exciting. You could see why they'd been purchased, and I think that was the difference between maybe this window and the last one. I mean, there was a lot more question marks with why we'd signed so many players in the same position. And I think there looks like there's been a bit more thought gone into this. And you know, Bernard is a really exciting player from Shakhtar Donetsk, and I can't wait to see him in an Everton shirt. You know, we needed centre-halves, we all know that, and the weekend highlighted that again, I think. So Yuri Mina comes with, Manchester United were interested in him, and comes from Barcelona, and Kurt Zouma, I mean, I know quite a few Stoke fans, and they all rave about him last season and say he was fantastic. So, and then on top of that, you know, Richarlison earlier on in the window, and the other fella Gomez from Barca too. So, yeah, it's been a really, really good window for us. And again, I think we've got a right to be confident and cautiously optimistic, I think.
This team is now clearly significantly stronger than the one last year. I think we can all agree that. Certainly the one that started the season, then with the additions of Walcott and Tosin later in the year as well. A lot has been done to rectify the problems of last summer already, but there is still deadwood to be shipped out, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there's Yannick Bolasie, I think is somebody you could put into that category, and Mo Besic as well. And that's not a slight on those two lads. I think that in their own right, they're not bad footballers. I think that sometimes Evertonians are a little bit too harsh on Yannick Bolasie, to be honest with you. I think that before the knee injury, he's a really good, competent footballer. But since then, what we've seen of him hasn't been great. And I think if we're honest, he is really quite far down the pecking order now. And it's highly unlikely that he'd get any game time at Everton this season. So there's him, and the same with Besic, you know, in the centre of the park. We've got lots of options now, and you know, I couldn't really see him fitting in anywhere. So they're two players that I think, from what I understand, there's still the opportunity that they might join Middlesbrough on loan. Again, you know, I'm not too sure how this works, because the transfer window is supposed to close, but apparently there's some rule where teams in other divisions can take your players on loan. I mean, I thought the whole idea of a transfer window was that, you know, it would just cut off at all of this kind of activity. But yeah, so I think that those two lads will leave. But overall, you know, again, not just from players in, I think players out, it's a good point actually, and a good observation, that the window was also very successful in that context too.
The transfer window, basically, as I understand it, is still open for the Football League for loan signings. So until the 31st of August, they can sign players on loan. That move could only be made until January, but that's how that move could happen. Of course, they could go abroad as well, these lads. The transfer window is still open in the likes of Italy, Spain and Germany, if there was to be interest from there. Just on the strength of the squad, still looks a little bit top-heavy for me. I think there are so many wingers and strikers, particularly if you look at the likes of Bernard coming in on Saturday's show, and you're not entirely sure where he goes into the starting lineup.
No, exactly, and that's a question. So we do a podcast throughout the week, and we did one on Sunday this week. Again, we were talking about where some of these lads fit in, but I think that's the wrong way to phrase this and look at this. I think for me, if you want to push on and challenge that top six, which is what we're told Everton want to do, then you have to have that strength in depth. So someone like Bernard can come in, and I think he can play as a 10, he can play out on the left, and I think even he's played out on the right before. So these are the kind of players with quality that you add that can fit in across the board. And yeah, on the face of it, you go, well, what, you know, when we signed him, it was, oh, what's this mean for Luckman and you know, we spent all that money on Sigurdsson. If he plays as a 10, what's going to happen there? And again, I think that's the wrong way to look at it. I think the way that we look at it is that we're just adding more and more strength in depth. And again, if you know, if we want people to take us seriously as a football club, we need to do that. You know,
absolutely right. Rate that transfer window out of 10, then.
Out of 10, 9 out of 10. The only thing I probably would have liked to have seen would be maybe another centre-forward, Matt, just as cover for Tucson. But then, you know, you've got Tucson, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's obviously a good prospect, Umar Nias, who comes off the bench, and even his own, you know, teammates don't know what he's going to do. So there's an element of the unknown to him. And then I think, you know, Theo Walcott wants to play through the middle too. He'd like to play as just the front man. So maybe Silva's looked at that and gone, actually, you know, if we are thin on the ground, we could play Walcott in that position, you know. I don't know whether or not that would work. That's not the point I'm making. I'm just saying there's another option there. So yeah, that would be the only reason why I wouldn't give it a 10 out of 10, to be honest with you, Matt.
Fascinating. It really is, because this time last year, Everton were perceived to have had the best transfer window of everyone with all the players they've signed. They've gone a little bit under the radar this time round, but have arguably had a much better window.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, so I think it was just quite novel to see Everton spending this money. I think there was a kind of a rarity to that before, and then you had also the big names like Wayne Rooney came in, and I think that's what generated a lot of the global coverage. But this time, you're right, it does seem like we've gone a little bit more under the radar. But with the Richarlison transfer to one side, because a lot of people have made a lot about that fee. But I think you're right, actually, and it's, again, that's a good observation, is that we've probably done better business, but it's not been as pronounced. You know, people haven't made that as much of a big deal as they did last season. So, we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. The Blues certainly moving forward, though. Adam, great to speak. Thank you for your time.
This is Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.